Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mike Florio. Let's bring in Mike Florio here. Joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
We have learned that an unvaccinated Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? He's a big, fat liar. That's my first thought.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi.
How are you, Mike?
On the Score.
Mike Florio joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can find him at Pro Football Talk, the creator of Pro Football Talk, and he's at NBC. He is with us now. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, pal?
Well, we're, you know, trying to make sense of this Bears hire, trying to figure out the parameters of his power, what happens next. But the first question I have for you is, how did it go down with the news now that the Vikings are hiring Kwesi Adofo-Mensah? What was the courtship like? Did the Bears beat out the Vikings for Ryan Poles, as some have reported?
Well, it's like free agency. If you can keep the guy from getting on the plane and going to his next stop, you dramatically enhance your ability to get the deal done. And instead of Poles leaving Chicago to go to Minnesota for interview number two, they decided to pull the trigger and get it done. And this is the first time we've seen in this cycle with three GM openings and now nine head coaching vacancies, and none of them have been filled. There's been no sense of competition among teams for the same candidate, no tug of war, no rush to the store to try to get the last of whatever before someone else can get it. And the Bears decided to get aggressive, to take what they wanted, and to keep the Vikings from potentially hiring Ryan Poles before they could. So, you know, it creates a nice little bright line in the division who got the better of the deal here, with the Vikings hiring Kwesi Adofo-Mensah from the Browns as their choice. And it doesn't mean that the Vikings were definitely going to hire Ryan Poles, but there is an impression there that the Bears beat them to the punch. At a minimum, the Bears kept them from having their full-blown second interview and making a decision between Poles and Adofo-Mensah.
And it was active rather than passive from the Bears' part, so it does show that they went out and got something that they wanted, which may make you feel better. I'm interested to know how you hear information on these guys after the fact, because I always laugh. You never hear bad stuff come out. You never hear a general manager having, oh my God, they hired that idiot? It's usually, at least, if not over the top positive, sort of blithely positive stuff about somebody assuming a place of power in the league. There's really no good reason for people to come out and start sniping at this guy behind the scenes. Do you ever hear bad stuff or muttering about such hires?
Sometimes if it comes from a place of jealousy by former coworkers or something along those lines, but in the media, and I laugh about this all the time, I already saw these superlatives being heaped upon Ryan Poles by people in the national media who may have no idea who he is. But part of the game is make it all positive, make the fans excited. It's part of what we're selling. And also it doesn't hurt if you rely on any access whatsoever to go over the top. And one of the things I've noticed more specifically than anything else, when a college coach comes to the NFL, there are some in the media who constantly act like this is the next Jimmy Johnson until proven otherwise, because you know what? if he becomes the next Jimmy Johnson and you believed in him when he wasn't the next Jimmy Johnson, you get dibs on phone calls and interviews and whatever. So I'm very cynical about it, but I know how the game is played. The reality is this. You're going to have 9 new coaches, 3 new general managers. And ultimately, all 32 teams, Dan, could have a great coach and a great GM. All 32. Excellent. Perfect. They know what they're doing. You still have the ultimate zero-sum game of 272 regular season contests. Somebody's going to be 13-4, and somebody's going to be 4-13. And if you do it enough times, you get fired. And there's going to be turnover. It happens. Owners are impatient. So everybody can make a great hire in this cycle. And I doubt that anyone is going to say, oh, boy, they really screwed up. But then we go play the games. We move to a different phase where they're necessarily going to be bad teams and there's necessarily going to be turnover. And it's just part of what makes the NFL news cycle go around. Because by the time we're playing the games again, we will have long forgotten the perfunctory check the box. Bears did a great job hiring a GM. Bears did a great job hiring a head coach. And we all just keep moving forward.
I'm trying to be mindful of Bears' historical context without damning anyone involved unfairly. But I do think it's reasonable to look at the timing and the optics of the Ryan Pace hire. He was 37. John Fox had become available, and there was what appeared to be a hasty arrangement in which, while technically they said it was Ryan Pace's hire, after the years, we all eventually knew better, and we learned how this became his hire. That's how I'm watching the coaching hire now. I just played the tape of George McCaskey saying ultimately the decision on head coach will be his. And yet it would be in the Bears' best interest to let us know that now that Ryan Poles is in place, that this is his hire. However they're going to spin it, they've got finalists already. They've got second interviews already. How should we watch what happens next to inform us as to who's really in charge?
Well, Bill Polian is still in charge of the search. And as I said, I think on your air yesterday on the morning show, if they don't hire the people Bill Polian recommends and it doesn't work, Bill Polian will find a way to make sure the world knows that the Bears didn't hire the people that he recommended. And if they had, the Bears would be in a better spot right now. So, you know, you don't heap all the superlatives on Bill Polian at the press conference George McCaskey had a couple of weeks ago if you're not willing to do what he tells you to do. And ultimately, I think it needs to be the person the general manager wants. And let me be more specific about it. It needs to be the person that Ryan Poles believes at every level of his being will be someone with whom he can form a partnership premised on mutual respect, friendship, loyalty, and trust. Because, and I've used this analogy all day long, because we've been talking about these GM hires, whether it's Minnesota or Chicago. It's a three-legged race. Remember the old three-legged race where you take the right leg of one person, the left leg of the other, you tie it together, and they go run. You've got to be able to run. You've got to be able to sprint. And if you fall down, they both fall down. You cannot have a situation where if things go sideways, and they inevitably will at some point during a season, it will feel like the sky is falling. When the sky is falling, do the GM and the head coach come together and try to prop it up? Or does one of them start thinking, well, I'm not taking the fall for this. I've put a talented team together. The coach, what the hell is the coach doing with the team I put together? And the coach needs to ultimately trust that the GM won't be undermining the coach by whispering to Ted Phillips or George McCaskey or anyone else in a position of influence, I don't know what this guy's up to. You can't have that. GM and the head coach have to be bound together, fused at the hip, and ready to fight together and work together and thrive together or die together if things don't work out. So for that reason, even though it's ultimately George's decision, I want the person that Ryan Poles believes will be the right person to have the relationship that will thrive under fire, not survive under fire, but thrive under fire.
Is it too much to ask then right now that even if we presume the Bears are doing everything the right way, and this is a big presumption, but for the purpose of this question, let's say the Bears want to do just that, or they want to make sure that that happens. If they sit down right now and say to Bill Polian, Bill, thank you for your service. Here's a giant check. Now go back to the beach. And they've got these files, and they've got their Zoom interviews with coaches recorded. and they've got all the information, and they push everything across the table, and they say, Ryan, here's everything we know. You do with this as you see fit, and we will be here to answer any questions and be a sounding board for you. Is that reason? See, I don't think that's going to happen, but how much time could he possibly need to make a decision that important with as much information as he should have?
And that's an excellent point, Dan. And I think if the Bears want to get people locally to buy into Ryan Poles the way that I think they need to, this would be the perfect opportunity to say, now that we have Ryan Poles on board, we are perfectly confident that Ryan Poles can lead the search for the next head coach. We thank Bill Polian for his contributions, and we're going to move forward with Ryan Poles finishing the search and making the decision, because ultimately he's the one that's got to live with it, not Polian. Polian moves on to whoever he's going to consult for next year. Ryan Poles moves forward with the coach, and I'd like to think that they know who Ryan Poles wants to hire. These guys who become general managers, who work in front offices, are always scouting players and they're always scouting coaches. They're always looking for that person that, if I ever become a GM, who's my coach going to be? And they carry around a list. They have a working list. Here are the people that I would consider. Here's my first choice. Here's my second choice. Here's who I would trust, and here's who would trust me. It doesn't always work. Look what happened in Detroit when Bob Quinn became the GM. The guy at the top of his list was Matt Patricia. He kept Jim Caldwell for a couple of years, nudged him out the door. In comes Patricia, and it all blows up in their faces. But at least it blew up in their faces together. They both were gone when it all fell apart. But Patricia was Quinn's guy. And Ryan Poles comes into a situation without an interim coach to worry about. There's no relationship there that needs to be possibly salvaged. Who's at the top of his list? And I hope that the Bears hired Ryan Poles knowing who's at the top of his list and comfortable with hiring that person as the head coach. If you're not, you shouldn't have hired Ryan Poles to be your GM.
The idea of publicly announcing that Bill Polian's work is completed, I think, has tremendous value, because we didn't get that with Ernie Accorsi the last time around. Everything was shadowy, and it took time, it took years for us to learn that what we initially thought was going on is what was going on, that it was kind of like, hey, Ryan, I know you're in charge, but maybe you just get to know John Fox a little bit. You guys have dinner. You good? Okay. You're good, right? You're good. Hire him. You like him, right? We know that's now how it went down. And then we got the great moment, like you say, this three-legged race. They both fell down when John Fox is standing with Mike Glennon at the draft night party, and all of a sudden the secret comes out that they're drafting Mitchell Trubisky. And then they're everybody sort of staring at each other, and we knew that there was a disconnect there. And to me, if there was an agreement on Justin Fields, that's going to be both the blessing of that unity, but the curse of the Bears saddling new people with something old.
Oh, I agree with you completely. And look, the mere fact that they weren't committed to giving Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy at least 2 years with Justin Fields present to try to make it work and let him develop, and they potentially ruin Justin Fields now by putting him on this conveyor belt where he goes from one coach to the next, mm-hmm. and hopefully the next coach will be able to develop him, and if that fails, then he moves on to the next one. And the next thing you know, the window's closed on his career. We look for signs of dysfunction. The fact that Pace and Nagy got fired after 1 year when they gave up next year's first-round pick to get Justin Fields, that in and of itself is dysfunctional to me, because it shows me the organization wasn't truly on board with these guys. So why would they have okayed the move to go get Justin Fields and trade up to get him? If you really have misgivings about whether you're going to continue with these guys, you tell them, no, we're not going to trade next year's first-round pick. We're not going to authorize it. So, you know, the question is, will the people responsible for past dysfunction get out of the way and let Ryan Poles and the head coach he would like to hire run the show? If the Bears want to be successful, they need to be sufficiently self-aware to let George McCaskey be a fan, let Ted Phillips truly be involved only with the effort to get a new stadium, and let Ryan Poles run the football operation. If you're not willing to do that, then you've screwed this thing up before it even began.
How tantalized should we be over the potential departure of Aaron Rodgers maybe even the departure of Tom Brady, and a completely reshuffled landscape in the NFC that gives a bit of renewed hope?
Well, I think right now Tom Brady is going to retire. I don't know that, but this all came up too quickly to not just be really odd and really unusual, and it almost feels like Twilight Zone-ish for me that others in the media aren't saying, wait a minute, this guy said multiple times in the 2021 season he's playing through 2022, and then he's going to decide what to do after that. How is all of a sudden the headline on ESPN, Tom Brady remains non-committal about playing next year? He was never non-committal. He was committal. Something happened. What is happening here? And I think the key was when he came out the other night on his podcast and said he doesn't want a farewell tour, I don't think he's coming back. Because if he comes back, even if he says I'm coming back for two more years, no one's going to believe it, and 2022 is going to be treated as the Tom Brady farewell tour. He's not going to be able to avoid that. I think he's gone. I think it's just a matter of him coming to terms with it and getting distance from the end of the season, and I think he is going to be gone. And I think Aaron Rodgers, right now I'd say he's not going to stay with the Packers, although I think his best bet is to stay. I don't think the Packers are going to do enough to convince him to stay, and we start looking for next destinations if he asks to be traded, and if they renege on their unwritten promise to trade him and unenforceable promise to trade him, that's when he retires too. But I don't think it's going to come to that. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants it to come to that, because he's not going to want to go into Canton the same year Tom Brady does, because that's when he becomes second fiddle to Tom Brady.
Let's look at the games real quick. I'm getting this feeling, and it's kind of cool, but the Bengals are getting this America's team vibe. They're kind of the new young hotness right now, and I'm okay with that. Like, go ahead and enjoy whatever Bengals bandwagon you can, because that's what the young quarterback's supposed to look like and supposed to act like.
This is Joe Montana 40 years later, and I remember vividly, you know, back in the 70s, as we were starting into a new decade, it was Cowboys, Raiders, Steelers that kind of ran the league. And we didn't have anyone crash the party. Go back and look at the Super Bowl winners. It was Cowboys, Raiders, Steelers, Dolphins all through the 70s and into the early 80s. Then comes the 1981 season. Here come the 49ers and Joe Montana. And when they beat the Cowboys in the NFC Championship, that was the shot. That put everyone on notice that it doesn't have to be the way that it was in the 70s, that maybe some of these other teams can rise up. And I feel like that's what the Bengals are doing. They beat the Chiefs in the regular season. And I hope that the Chiefs have realized that you can't single cover Jamar Chase if you want to try to outscore the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know that they're ready, but you know what? I didn't think they were ready last week. This is going to be a hell of a one to pick, because all signs point to the Chiefs after what they did last week. But I can't help but wonder, and I think back to the Minneapolis Miracle game from 4 years ago. When you have one of those pull a rabbit out of your hat or some other southerly orifice type of a win in the divisional round, can you really recover from that in a week and get yourself into the right mindset? I think the Vikings had a letdown against the Eagles, and I think the Chiefs may have a letdown against the Bengals. The question is, can the Bengals take advantage of it long enough to deliver the death blow to the Chiefs? Because they had a letdown against the Steelers for a quarter and a little bit more, and then the next thing you know, they score 42 points.
The way you ask that, too, is, and any 49ers fan is going to think, oh, geez, like, talk about pulling something out of somewhere. You can't replicate that. That's not a recipe for NFC championship victory. It's like, well, you know, we're going to just get a blocked punt, and the other team is inexplicably going to spend 55 minutes not scoring. Like, they've got to have a different plan if they're going to want to upset a much better team.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And I think the fact that the 49ers have beaten the Rams six straight times, at a certain point it works against you. At a certain point you've run out of tricks that you've used to overcome the opponent that you continue to master. At some point, little brother is going to figure out how to beat big brother at ping pong, and that's what Sean McVay is trying to do this week. And his team on paper is better across the board, and they had a 17-point lead against the 49ers, with the division title on the line for the Rams and a playoff berth on the line for the 49ers, and they blew it. You know, what fascinates me about single elimination high-stakes football is that mistakes happen every week in the regular season, but they're different when you get to the postseason. That mistake creates a much greater momentum swing potentially. And, you know, it's the moment at the end of Back to the Future, and I apologize if I used this last week. I ended up using it in several different spots. But it's at the end of Back to the Future when Crispin Glover, playing George McFly, curls up his fist and swings it at Biff and just happens to connect. I think that's what happened to the Packers. And it started with Mercedes Lewis fumbling the ball when the Packers were driving to go up 14-0. Because I think if it goes 14-0 in the first quarter of that game, 49ers are done. But that was the first moment that George McFly caught Biff off guard. And I think when that happens, it kind of takes on a life of its own and it evens things out. So that's what the Bengals need to do. But even then, it's not going to be enough because we saw the Steelers do that to the Chiefs. We saw the T.J. Watt moment where they go up 7-0, but the Steelers didn't have the offense to back it up. See, the Bengals do. If the Bengals can knock the Chiefs wobbly early, maybe they do have enough offense to continue to keep it going and somehow steal the win from the Chiefs. And they're going to have – who's going to pick the Bengals? Who really is going to have the guts to pick the Bengals this week? And I think that's going to play into the Bengals' hands. It won't surprise me if they find a way to pull it off.
There you have it. Mike Florio. I know we're excited for what some people think is the best football weekend of the year. We will talk about it next week.
Thanks, pal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.